This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
I'd like to welcome all of our internet listeners. Hopefully we have a few today. A reminder, turn your cell phones off. If they do go off, there'll be a penalty. This time I'll ask the secretary to call the roll.
Representative Barthel.
Here.
Chafee.
Excused.
Schwach.
Here.
Freimuller.
Here. Oh.
Greenfield.
Here.
Hammock.
Here.
Mullally.
Here.
Overweg.
Here.
Reed. Excused. Reimer.
Here.
Sullivan.
Here.
York.
Here.
Otten.
Here.
Mr. Chair, we have a quorum.
We have a quorum. First item up is approval of the minutes. I have a motion to approve the minutes. I have a first from Representative Mullally, a second from Representative Barthel. Any discussion on that? Not all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. I'd like to remind all the testifiers to sign in. Ensure, if you're a lobbyist, that you're wearing your badge and have the correct badge showing. If we have any handouts, please utilize our pages to hand those out. And this time, I'd like to have our pages come up and introduce themselves and say a little bit of who you are, where you're from, and if you have any future plans.
I'm Nolan Rounds. I'm a junior at TF Riggs High School. I don't really know for sure, but I think I might go to SDSU for pre-med.
Very good.
Hi, my name is Sage Arnold, and I'm a senior at Hamlin High School, and I'm not sure where I want to go to college yet, but I want to study environmental science.
Very good. Okay, at this time, do we have any introductions or personal privileges from the committee? Seeing none. Just a quick reminder before we get into hearing the bills, address all the questions through the chair. And at this time, we will get into a bill hearing. If you notice on your agenda, we are taking House Bill 1120 first, as a good representative has another bill up in a different committee. So trying to accommodate his time with that. So at this time, we will open the hearing on House Bill 1120, an act to authorize the governing body of a second or third class municipality to act as a planning and zoning commission. Representative Goodwin, how are you doing today?
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the House State Local Government. My name is Representative Tim Goodwin. I represent District 30, which is the rural part of the state in Fall River, Custer, and Southern Pennington County. The bill we're bringing for you today is, like you mentioned, House Bill 1120. It's just a bill that takes care of these little towns as far as the little municipalities in our districts. A lot of you, I know, have small towns in your districts as well. And we have the municipal league here that's going to cover the details on it. So they'll follow me, and then I'll close out testimony.
Sounds great. For your proponents.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. May I offer a handout?
Yes, you may.
Thank you.
Ms. Taylor, did you sign in?
Oh, I didn't. I should know better by now, shouldn't I?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I'll do that. Thank you. Sorry, you've thrown me off my game. The pages are handing out the section of law that deals with this. That deals with this bill is dealing with. This issue came forward to us when we found out that there was a 1994 Attorney General's opinion out there that says you can't have the governing body sit as the Planning and Zoning Commission. That opinion was based on their reading of 9-14-16, which is the statute we've just handed out to you. The opinion seemed to read the first sentence of that statute, but did not read the second sentence of that statute, which is highlighted on the copy that you just received. Our conflict of interest provisions say that no elected official can serve, hold any other office under their municipality. And that effectively means you can't have a paid position under your own city. But the second sentence says that that does not include any membership on any municipality board if the ordinance or resolution establishing the board specifically includes the mayor and alderman commissioner or trustee in the membership of that board. Our planning and zoning commissions are appointed by ordinance. And so this would just clarify that basically the second sentence of that law applies to our planning and zoning commissions. We did limit it to just our smallest towns. They're the ones that are currently doing this. Somebody dug up that opinion and kind of started saying that we can't do it, and so that's what got this stirred up and became an issue. And so we don't think we're actually making any change. We think we're just clarifying and make sure that there isn't a conflicting opinion out there. I'd be happy to take questions and urge you to support the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any other proponent testimony? Any other proponent testimony on House Bill 1120? Seeing none, we'll move into opponent testimony. Do we have any opponent testimony? Any opponent testimony on House Bill 1120? Seeing none, I'll waive the rebuttal portion and get into committee questions. Do we have any questions from the committee? Representative Hammack.
For Municipal League Representative. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Generally speaking, there's some type of an appeal process for committee decisions. How would that work in this case if one of your town leaders is sitting on the board? What would be the process for a citizen to appeal a decision of the zoning and planning?
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
The process would be the same as it is for a board of adjustment, where the governing body is sitting as the board of adjustment, and you have the right to go to court and challenge that position.
Follow up. Thank you. One of the this is philosophical, I guess, but when challenged in court, then there is a financial burden on the citizen that is taking that up the ladder. Whereas, not trying to muddy the water, but in a county situation, they have the option of going to the commissioner board for a decision, which essentially doesn't cost them anything. But if you challenge in court, then you have an expense. Have you any response to that?
Mr. Chairman, the way it would work in a city that had a separate planning and zoning commission, the planning and zoning commission merely makes a recommendation to the governing body, and then the governing body's decision is final. And so I don't think it really changes anything in that situation. In the event that the governing body agrees with the planning and zoning, the appeal is to the court. And so it's the same people involved at the same level.
Any further questions? Representative Mulally.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In doing this governing body of the planning and zoning, would a comprehensive plan by, you got a little small municipality inside a huge county, and they want a small planning and zoning board in their area, and the county wants to do a new comprehensive plan, how will that affect that governing body?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, they can, a town within a county that has planning and zoning can maintain their own planning and zoning, or they can cooperate and do it together with the county. And so they've got the option of working together or doing it separately. In a case of a county that doesn't have planning and zoning, the municipality can just do their own. The municipality is not allowed to leave city limits without the basically agreement of the county. And so the planning and zoning within a municipality only applies within a municipality.
Further questions? I have one little one. How about, Ms. Taylor, you just explained to the committee what the definition for size-wise was with a second and third class municipality.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. It is second and third class are those municipalities under 5,000 in population, of which we have 295, probably. We have 17 that are over, is all of the 309 municipalities.
And a third class is what, 500?
500 and under.
Just wanted to make sure everybody knew that information. Any further questions? Representative Hammack?
Do you have an idea about how many of your municipalities are already working with this process? Just a ballpark or a guess?
I have no idea. I would estimate that we've heard from 10, but I think there are quite a few more than that.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any further questions? All right, seeing none, I'm going to close the public testimony portion and get into committee discussion and or action. Representative Barthel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move do pass.
Second.
Oh. Donuts for everyone.
Don't take off too soon today. All right. So I have a first from Representative Barthel, a second from Representative Greenfield. Do we have any discussion on that motion? Representative Barthel?
It makes sense, and basically we're putting in the statute what sounds like has been the practice anyway, so I support it.
Okay, further discussion on that motion? All right. Seeing none, we have a first from Representative Barthel, a second from Representative Greenfield with the do pass motion on House Bill 1120. At this time, I'll have the Secretary call the vote.
Representative Barthel.
Aye.
Chafee.
Aye.
Schwach.
Aye.
Freimuller.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hammack.
Aye.
Mullally.
Aye.
Overweg.
Aye.
Reed.
Aye.
Reimer.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
York.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, we have 13 yay.
So House Bill 1120 has been affirmed with a due pass motion, and we'll go to the floor. This is eligible for the consent calendar unless somebody objects. So it will go on consent. Representative Goodwin. All right, we will move to our next bill, which will be back to the top of our calendar. So we will start with House Bill 1197, or 1097, excuse me. And we will start with proponent testimony. Welcome, Representative.
Good morning, Local Government Committee, Mr. Chair. I'm Representative Rebecca Reimer, District 26B. And I'm bringing you a bill today on marriage. There is an amendment, so Mr. Chair, do I have latitude to speak on the amendment?
Yes, you have latitude to speak to the amendment and the bill.
Okay, thank you. And I will have two proponents calling in. And before I even get started with everything, I think some of you received an email last night on this bill saying not to pass it because of it didn't... was against a certain community, and when I emailed people back, they were addressing the wrong bill. So just so you know that, if you get some negative emails, it was not this bill. Okay, so with that, I'll just go forward. So I'm bringing you a marriage bill that changes the amount of time in which you apply for your marriage license to the time you solemnize your marriage. So currently, state law says a couple has 20 days to apply for their marriage license and solemnize it. I'm proposing that the 20 days be changed to 90 days. So this was brought to my attention this past summer as our daughter and her fiance had to move to Rhode Island for his work. They were getting married in October of 2019, but had to leave in June of 2019 for Rhode Island. She was trying to wrap up all her wedding plans before she left, and when she checked into the marriage license application, they had a 20-day window in which they could apply for the marriage license. So what they had to do, what it meant is that they had to fly back to South Dakota. When they did fly back to South Dakota, they would have to apply for their marriage license. So they were able to make it work, and they did fly home 2 days early just in case they had some unforeseen things come up, and they were fortunate that they could do this. But there are some couples who cannot or would not have this option to come home early during business hours. So that's why I'm moving forward with this bill. It'll provide a larger window for a couple to apply for their marriage license actually have that bigger time frame for them when they do the application to the actual wedding day. I did call multiple Register of Deeds offices to make sure this was okay. We informed a little working group of 8 to 10 of us, and we had a couple conference calls and some emails. We debated on opening it up from 90 days to 180 days because I did look at other surrounding states and what they offer and what their laws say. They did choose to keep the 90 days. That's what they wanted to go with. And some of my proponents will probably speak to that. And I also feel that they work in that environment and they know what's best. So as you can see on the bill, I did strike out Section 1 of the bill, which dealt with photo IDs. And I thought I had it pretty well covered, but learned that we have an Amish community in Hutchinson County that have some restrictions and regulations. And I will let the ROD from Hutchinson County speak on this. But I felt instead of moving forward with this, I would like to try to work with them and make it work for their community as well. So you'll probably see something in future legislation for next year. So we're going to try to get it right. So with that, we can call the proponents.
For those of you listening on the internet, we have a couple call-in testifiers. So if it takes a few seconds to work through all that to get them on the phone, that's what's going on. Hello, Julie.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
If I could get you just to state your name and then provide your testimony, that would be great.
Okay. Good morning. I'm Julie Herbold, Hutchinson County Register of Deeds. Would like to thank Mr. Chairman and the rest of the local government committee for allowing me to testify remotely in favor of the changes on House Bill 1097. Changing this to the 90 days is great for our public. I have had instances where the 20-day window was not long enough and actually had even come in on Saturday to wait on customers for their marriage license because the window was not big enough to accommodate their needs. So I am strongly in favor of the 90-day versus the 180 days, I believe, is too long. Chances are they could lose it. That's just too long of a window. And I have contacted other, Register of Deeds in that. And I think we should go forward and pass this with the 90-day change.
Okay. Thank you for that. And if you have the ability to stay on the line, just in case there happens to be a question from the committee, that would be wonderful.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have a second? Okay, I'm sorry. I guess we have to hang up with you.
Okay.
To make the second phone call, but if you could hang around in case we need to call you back.
You bet. I'll be listening. Thank you so much for your time. Bye.
Hello, Roberta. This is Representative Otten. How are you doing today?
I'm very good, thank you.
That's good. If I could get you to state your name, and then you can proceed with providing your testimony as a proponent.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the Local Government Committee. I am Roberta Nichols, Brown County Register of Deeds. I want to thank you for considering House Bill 1097 and for allowing me to testify as a proponent of this bill.
I wholeheartedly agree with the points that have already been made by Representative Reimers and my Hutchinson County counterpart in making the changes to South Dakota Statute 25-1-24. I believe it's the right thing to do for the people of South Dakota, because oftentimes people are separated from their families to serve their country or attend school, or in Representative Reimer's situation, for employment purposes. A wedding is one of the events in our lives that we want to share with our families. Additionally, we can't control natural disasters or family emergencies. And I've, in Brown County, had these situations just last winter when we had a blizzard, and a couple of weddings did have to be postponed. That 20-day window does not allow for adjusting plans. Those young people had to come in and reapply for a new wedding or marriage license and pay the $40 again. So I believe that extending that 20 days to 90 days does allow for adjustment in unforeseen events. House Bill 1097 removes one of the stressors at a time that tends to be very stressful in everyone's lives. Again, thank you for your consideration of this bill.
Thank you. And if you could hang around just in case there's any questions from the committee, that would be great.
Absolutely.
Hey, do we have any other proponents? Any other proponents to House Bill 1097? Seeing none, I will move into seeing if we have any opponents. Do we have any opponents to House Bill 1097? Seeing none, I'll waive the rebuttal and move into committee questions. Do we have any questions from the committee? Seeing none, I will close the public testimony and move into committee discussion and or action. We have a pending amendment that we would need to move first. So do I have action on that amendment? Representative Mulally?
I move we accept the amendment as.
And that amendment, I suppose I should probably read the title of that, is Amendment 1097B, so we are clear.
Right, and everyone should have it because it's in there.
And it's been distributed. It should be on everybody's computer, so.
Second.
All right, I have a first from Representative Mulally, a second from Representative Representative Overweg to move Amendment 1097B. Any discussion on that? Not. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. All right, now we are dealing with House Bill 1097 as amended. Do we have any discussion and or action on the bill?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hammack.
Move to pass.
Second.
All right, I have a first from Representative Hammack, a second from Representative Freimuller with a due pass motion on 1097 as amended. Do I have any discussion on that motion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hammack.
I think the good representative has done a really good job of researching the background on this. We've had a little bit of talk about it before, and it's a pretty simple matter, and it's a very practical matter that I think is a good way to address the inconveniences that can pop up in today's world. So I support it, and I compliment our representative.
Any further discussion on that motion? Seeing none? All right. So we have a first by Representative Hammack, separate from Representative Freimuller. The due pass motion on House Bill 1097 as amended. I will have the Secretary call the vote.
Representative Barthel.
Aye.
Chafee.
Aye.
Schwach.
Aye.
Freimuller.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hammack.
Aye.
Mulally.
Aye.
Overweg.
Aye.
Reed.
Aye.
Reimer. Sullivan.
Aye.
York.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, we have 13 yea.
So House Bill 1097 as amended has received affirmative vote with a due pass motion, and we'll go to the floor by a vote of 13 doe. Nope. It's amended. I don't think we can put amended. Can we do the amended bill? All right. We will put that on consent. Sounds good. It will go on consent. Alrighty, next up on the agenda today is House Bill 1165, an act to revise provisions regarding the acceptance of gifts by municipalities. Do we have any proponent testimony?
Good morning, Mr. Chair.
Good morning, Representative.
Committee members, Tim Reed, District 7. Today I bring before you House Bill 1165. This is an act revised provisions regarding the acceptance of gifts by municipalities. And it's a pretty straightforward bill. What it does is it allows a municipality to establish a policy for accepting gifts, and that would be like city parks, any maybe kind of recreational facility, places like that, rather than having each one go to the full council. When I was Mayor Brookings, I dealt with this quite a bit. We had a policy in place. It's pretty stringent policy because you got to be careful when you're accepting gifts and what kind of recognition they can get and all that. But every single gift still had to come to the council. And so what this does, this is if the council's adopted a policy, then the city can go ahead and accept those gifts through the policy versus having to have council action for each gift. It's pretty straightforward. I ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Do we have any other proponent testimony? Sign in for this one, too.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman. Yvonne Taylor from the South Dakota Municipal League. We asked the representative to carry this bill forward for us. Our city council meetings are effectively the business meeting of the town, and so there are things that could be handled administratively and don't need to be taking up time on that agenda. The examples I've been given of things that very kind people give to their cities and towns, things like flower pots, maybe a bench in the park, trees are another big one that they'll donate a tree to be planted in a park. And so we would simply like the ability to establish a local policy and maybe not clutter up the council agenda with the little stuff. So we'd appreciate your support. Thank you.
Any other proponent testimony? Any other proponent testimony in House Bill 1165? Seeing none, we will move into opponent testimony. Do we have any opponent testimony in House Bill 1165? Seeing none, I'll waive the rebuttal and move into committee questions. Do we have any questions for the committee? Representative Greenfield.
Yes, this would be for Representative Reed. I just need some clarification on types of monuments and types of works of art that would be become a part of the city. And just the types of things you're talking about, because let me clarify. Do you have the right to turn down some of the works of art that might be presented that would come through something that you've adopted as part of your policy? Is that correct?
Mr. Chair? Yes, Representative, that's correct. And it has happened before. It happened while I was in Brookings, where things could be turned down. And that's why the policy has to be, prepared first. And there are some things that still in policy may have to come to the council. In some cities, there's actually an art council, too, that will review art. And then, there's a secondary approval by council. So it's in policy that still has to go to the council, because there can be issues with those kind of things.
Okay, I thank you for that.
Further questions?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Reimer?
For Representative Reed. And I'm not really sure if this is applicable or not. Maybe I'm going down there. Are there, so you're saying that it'll just go through the council instead of it having to be vetted further down the line or have other people look at this? Or tell me that again.
Mr. Chair. Are you asking about the previous question? Or
No. When someone gives a gift, you said it's going to go through the council, right?
Today, all gifts should go through the city council.
Okay.
Okay. What I was saying is that, you know, there can be a policy in place. This allows, if there's a policy in place, that it can be administratively handled. It will not have to take council action to accept the gift.
Okay. So I'm wondering, is there a dollar amount that would be approved by whatever the administration, and a dollar amount that would have to go in front of the council?
Mr. Chair, that would be handled within the policy. So the council would make that decision if there is to be a dollar level or a certain item. You know, artwork was a good example. All artwork will be approved by the council. So that can still be done in policy. So this just allows, if it is something very simple, like a, you know, let's say the master gardeners always give 20 potted plants for the park, the administration can just say, yes, that's okay, because it follows the policy that has been enacted by the city council.
Okay. No further questions.
Representative Hammack?
Mr. Chair, for Representative Reed, what would be the process if land was transferred, and specifically, is that advertised if something like that occurs? Somebody gives you a piece of to add to the park or a bike path or whatever. Is there a public notice of some sort that other adjacent landowners would be aware of that process? Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I better check with the Municipal League. I believe that's totally outside of the scope of this statute.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, Yvonne Taylor with the Municipal League. What I would anticipate our municipalities would do is probably set two levels of policy. I believe they would adopt something that would deal with the price or the expense of the thing. So things under $50 could be handled administratively. I believe they would also establish a policy that would be based on permanence, and that would go to your art kind of a thing. If it's something that's going to be a permanent addition, then it would have to be dealt with individually by the council. And so in those cases, anything dealt with that way would have the hearing and would have a notice that was given in the agenda, not published. But
follow up?
Did you have? Go ahead, Representative Reed.
Mr. Chair,
thank you.
If you notice in line one, or I'm sorry, line six, the first line, oh, it does say, so real has been, okay, I'm sorry, real has been added to this. So, I know from city policies that there's always policies that are specific to real property also.
I think that covers it for me. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you,
Representative Reed. Thank you. Representative Freimuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When I was looking at this, I had thought it was okay, but when you said you anticipate or you're not sure or different things like that, I don't know that this bill is ready to come, because there are questions on costs. There are questions on what exactly would the gift be. And then there was mention that, you know, if somebody wants to donate 10 flower or 20 flower pots or whatever, and you were trying to save the council time, if you've been doing that, I would think you could just put those in an agenda item on the council. This is what we've done for the last 10, you know, so many years. It's not going to take up a lot of council time to do that. But I think when you're going through the council, you're vetting this stuff a little bit more carefully. And would that be right? Because when you're talking about land, you're talking about property, you're talking about so many different things, we're just kind of lumping them all in and saying it should be okay.
Mr. Chair. So first, on your question about council time, yeah, you probably put it on consent. You know, true, the time in council wouldn't be that long. But every time you put an item as an agenda item on a council, there is staff that have to do work behind it. And so the idea of this is to allow the council to say, if it's just going to be flower pots and we do it every year, it's in policy, you can do it. So the council can set, you know, they can say anything over, you know, $100 has to come back to us. The council will be able to set that. They'll be able to have that local control to do that in this case. So things like that just don't, the very simple ones that would take a lot of staff time to put together. Cause whenever you put an agenda item together, it's at least a page that the administrator has to write up what's happening. So the council has information about it. And so if the council wants to say, we don't want to deal with the flower pots every year, they can just put that into policy. They can leave everything else that they want to make sure should come to them that they think is critical. They can leave that, you know, outside of the policy and say that always has to come to us.
Any further questions? Representative Schwach.
So my community of Yankton, we've had two parks established through donations, and Panel Memorial Park is our largest park and was donated to the city. And I don't have an issue with letting them do it by policy, but I'm looking at the top half of it, and I'm curious if by moving the phrase "the improvement or ornamentation of" before the word "parks," if we are prohibiting towns from accepting real property for the purpose of a creation of a park. Do you agree with that?
Mr. Chairman, I would believe that a park would be ornamentation of a municipality in its entirety. And the city council could still say, we don't care to have that. No, thank you. We don't want to have to keep that up. And so I don't think we've changed anything that wasn't already in the current ability.
Follow up, or are you good?
I think I am good.
All right. Further questions of the committee? Representative Mulally.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question is, if this is put into policy, will there be a public record of every, because as it goes through a council, there is public record of everything that is gifted. And any citizen can check on that record to find out who's donating, who's giving, who's, you know, is there going to be a record keeping of anything that's brought through policy since it's not a public record through the council?
Mr. Chair, all those records would be open records. They wouldn't necessarily be recorded in council minutes, but they would be available to the public to be reviewed. So it wouldn't be made public, you know, in the meeting, but if somebody came to the city and said, we need to see who donated that park or who donated this item, then that would be open per our open laws, or open government laws.
Follow up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How would a citizen go about finding that if it's only in policy, you know, because if it's in council, they actually have it a public record. They can go to minutes and see that. If it's in policy, how are they going to locate and know that something was bequeathed to a municipality if it's only in policy and they don't know that something has been that may disturb them? You know, like somebody has a piece of property that they don't believe should have been donated or for some reason.
Mr. Chair, so I think if we're talking about flower pots, that isn't going to be as big of a concern. And so the idea behind this, and let's not forget it's May, this is not a shell. You know, if a council wants to continue to make sure that they do put their stamp of approval on the 50 flower plots or flower pots, each year, they can, right? But when you get to the level of land, that's more of a serious thing. And the council should understand that when you take land, that you need to make sure that it is, you know, publicly vetted, that you're picking up land. Because with land, there's costs, right? If you're going to have a park, there's a good chance that the city's going to have to, you know, pay for that park. And so the public should know, you know, what's being, it's the same as when you purchase land, you know, that is always, you know, publicize when you're purchasing land because you know there's extra costs in it. So, like I said, this is a May, and you would, you know, the council themselves would have to set that policy.
Mr. Chair.
And let me, may I add something, Mr. Chair? And it's referable. The policy would be referable. I mean, it's a voted on item. That policy would have to be voted on. When you can't just set policy and not have a vote. You know, you can't have your administration just set that policy. The council would have to set that policy.
Representative Reimer?
Just more of a comment. I think what the good representative to my right is trying to figure out is, you know, how what's easy access to see these items that somebody would donate. I would think like a simple gift log would be easy enough that if I wanted to go into the office and find something, they can just pull out the gift log. So I think that's what she was referring to. So just a suggestion.
Representative Chafee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question for the sponsor. I'm voting for the bill. Okay, so I'm not meaning to throw rocks on it, but I'm trying. I think the good representative from Yankton brought up a point that I kind of see his point of view there. So when we're talking about on line 8, for the purpose of the improvement, now an improvement, if it's physically attached to the real estate, I can see that becoming part of the real estate. If you can't do damage to the improvement or the real estate, it becomes, by definition, part of the real estate. But as it says right there, the improvement, to my mind, becomes a structure. Ornamentation just becomes the garland on the structure of park. So I kind of wonder if you aren't kind of backing out of the intent of trying to get the donation for parks. And again, I'm going to vote for it, but maybe it's something we can look at just a little bit or explain a little bit. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, parks are actually covered under a different section. Buildings and parks and such and structures. Yeah. That's why this is, and because you're right. I mean, receiving a park is a big deal and it should be, you know, but that actually would not, that's why it's not in this.
Representative Schwach, do you have a question?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Could I see the statute where donations of gifts for real estate for parks is different?
I'm sorry, Yvonne Taylor with the Municipal League. It is not the land, I'm trying to find it right here, not the land itself, but the structures in parks are covered under a different statute and are very limited on what you can build in a park. And I just saw it a minute ago, and of course now I can't find it. 938.35.
Would you care to read that so we don't have to all look it up, please?
Neither the governing body nor the board, more the board, and in this case it's talking about the Parks Board, nor the board may permit any person to build or maintain any structure within any park or parkway under the control of the board. No structure shall be placed or erected, may be erected or maintained within any park or parkway, except such structures or buildings as may be erected by the board for park purposes, such as statues, monuments, works of art, or structures intended for ornamentation only as may be erected by authority of the board. However, the governing body or board may authorize the building and operation of tourism, science, or information centers within any park or parkway. The centers may include administrative offices of any nonprofit association or corporation responsible for the operation of the center. If a water tower is located within a park or on park land, the governing body or board may authorize the installation of communications equipment, including personal wireless service equipment on the tower or on the ground, and may authorize the installation of equipment to run wires or cables underground as the park land is in order to connect the installation with facilities located outside the parkland. The governing body or board shall establish the terms and conditions for any such installation or license agreement. And, Mr. Chairman, I can tell you I personally remember two of those exceptions coming in, and that law has been in place since 1915.
Thank you for that. Representative Hammack?
Everything for either one of the speakers. I'm good with everything in here except transfer of land. I just feel like that when there's a transfer of ownership, whether it's a gift or whether you buy it for $10, that needs to be advertised. And I don't see that happening. So I will ask you the question. Is that something that rises to a point of resolving? Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I guess we are asking if we could defer the bill so we can research these items and maybe fix what could be what the issue could be.
Okay. I'm going to provide a comment or two before I make a decision on that. As being a past mayor myself of a community, I understand exactly where Representative Reed is coming from on this, and I got to admit, I think a couple of the concerns about the land are unfounded when you get into the city government if you're actually the mayor and the city council. I don't believe for a second any municipality is going to write a policy that's just going to accept a gift of land that is not going to go through there. Now, I understand this could say that, but not for one second I believe that would ever happen for all the reasons that have been stated up here. So it is a big issue when land comes into play with this. So I understand the concerns. I don't know if I agree with them or not, but if the good representative is, would you like to be at ease a little bit to maybe come up with a quick verbal amendment, or would you prefer to defer? I will give you the discretion to ask.
Mr. Chair, just go at ease for one moment here, please.
Okay, committee's going to be at ease for a few minutes. All right, if we could ever have everybody take their chairs again. Can we take our chairs, please? All right. All right, so we've been at ease a little bit on this. And, you know, to satisfy the questions of the committee, going to defer House Bill 1165, more than likely till next Tuesday, is when we will take this back up, because there are some questions we want to make sure, and we have the time, so I want to make sure that the committee's questions are answered and or concerns are handled as much as possible with this. So, and Representative Reed, you are good with this?
Mr. Chair, yes, I am. I didn't get to answer Representative Chafee's question, so I'd like to answer it specifically. Yep. Class 4 soils.
It's a great answer. I don't know if it applies, but it's a great answer right now. And most people on the internet will have absolutely no idea what that joke is about. So, all right. So with that, I will be deferring House Bill 1165. And that brings us to the end of our calendar. Is there anything for the good of the committee? If not, I will move to or take a motion to Representative Freimuller. Do you have something?
I do, and I know you are so involved with House Bill 1054 and getting an amendment, and I think we got the final one today, and I put a copy on your desk.
Thank you for that, I think. All right, Representative Chafee.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
I have a first from Representative Chafee, a second from Representative Mulally to adjourn. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So moved. We are adjourned.